TNF soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, my name is Lindsay. I started producing topical items during lockdown to keep my neighbours entertained. All the recordings are made inside my cosy cabin for that extra sense of calm. And naturally enough, I called them Cabin Conversations. I hope you enjoy them. Cabin Conversations about International Bat Night. The Eurobat Secretariat organisation established International Bat Night in 1997 and actually covers the last weekend in August, which falls on the 30th and 31st this year. Their primary objective was to promote awareness and conservation of bats in Europe. Today they have expanded to over 30 countries worldwide, encouraging observation of benefits in nature and dispelling myths about bats through educational programs, research and bat-related activities, such as bat walks at night. In the UK, there are 18 species of bats making up over a quarter of all resident mammals. These only flying mammals are legally protected. Bat populations are declining, and without these natural pest controllers, the ecosystems of hedgerows, tree lines, and watercourses will become seriously compromised. One myth about bats concerns their eyesight. The old saying, blind as a bat, turns out to be totally inappropriate, especially when applied to bats. They could see well enough during the day if they were awake, albeit with little colour vision. They routinely feed during the dark hours, usually from around half an hour before sunset to half an hour before sunrise, and rely on their ability of sound echolocation for more accurate spatial awareness of their environment and prey. So why do bats forage at night? It seems their favourite insects are moths, which of course are only active at night, though we'll settle for flies and beetles. Also, there are less predators awake to reduce the bat's food source. Not that the UK's abundant and smallest bat, the common pipistrelle, is any food threat. They only weigh about the same as a 20 pence coin, despite consuming thousands of tiny insects per night. Mainly they tend to fly between 6 and 32 feet, that's 2 and 10 metres above the ground, and the most available haunts are gardens rather than wilderness. Unfortunately, haunts being the operative word when bats are associated with horror settings in social media, particularly the film and music industries. In reality, bats are quite shy, adorable furry mouse-like creatures with little umbrella-styled wings who have a strong sense of community. Their colony survival dilemma is recognised by conservationists in several ways in the UK, mostly providing mobility, accessible ramped entrance, bottom slot, roost colony bat boxes in trees, walls, barns or roofs of houses, not unlike bird nesting box locations. The government highways went further and spent £2 million designing and constructing 15 gantry bridges over busy roads across Britain, assuming they would mimic trees. The theory being the bats would naturally fly higher to avoid the bridges, taking their flight path away from the fatal dangers of road vehicles below, such as buses or lorries. However, this naive plan did not work, as Professor William Sutherland of the Conservation Science Group, Cambridge, stated. The trouble was the plan was based on faith and not on science, indicating bats were far too clever to confuse solid metal for fibrous wood through their echolocation skills. Skills ironically discovered by an actual man of faith. Lazzaro Spananzi, an Italian priest, physiologist and biologist who discovered through experiments in 1793 that bats relied on their hearing more than their eyesight. Bats can easily differentiate between structures with a broader frequency, short burst call, to sweep the area, and then use a different narrow frequency, constant call, to find their insect prey. All these frequencies are beyond human audible hearing range, and so small electronic sound listening devices, bat detectors, are necessary for surveys to both pinpoint whereabouts and to identify their species. In fact, it was Donald R. Griffin, an American zoologist, who coined the term echolocation in 1938 to describe the bat's ability to locate objects through sound, as proved by using a microphone sensitive to ultrasound frequencies. Any humans can learn to use similar bat echolocation techniques by making a sharp noise, such as clicking fingers, tapping, or persistent tones like humming, and waiting for the sound to bounce back off solid objects, such as walls, getting no echo return if open doorways. Many blind people, estimated around 20 to 30%, have used echolocation techniques at some point in their lives. Another myth is that to be batty means someone is slightly crazy, like a bat. Maybe this derived from their seemingly erratic flight patterns or hanging upside down to hibernate from late November through to early April, and preferring caves. Although the oldest reference to batty is Anglo-Saxon, meaning a boatman or fisherman, as back then the word bat meant boat. Perhaps a more logical link to someone's up and down behaviour, just like the unpredictable nature of the sea. May you echo the benefits of bats and right the wrongs of their myths.
DNF Soundings.